today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
So you let her have her own money. You're okay with that?
Yeah, and she can vote.
Hit the alarm for him. Hit the alarm for him, for Christ's sake. I let her have her
she
own money.
She lets her have her own money.
Carla.
She can vote, smoke cigarettes, anything she wants. Drive a car, show her face. And I say, this is remarkable work. And I'm really expecting to have like a really sort of level conversation with this guy. And he turns to me and he says, I know, we've got one of only four printers in a whole country that cuts paper with a laser.
Yeah. And what is something you would change?
Speak from
your
heart.
Because I'm sure you think about it.
This is how I
get my feedback about the Mike O'Mara Show.
The first thing that comes to mind is yes. Less Ethan.
Oh my God!
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
I want to make sure you remind me that in the broadcast today, we have to finish part two of Matty Masiello.
And also, when we see him, we have a Rob Ford issue to resolve.
Oh, that's right. When he gets here.
Yes.
And, Oscar's late. It's Friday, so we started, and he'll get here when he gets here. That's the way it
goes. That'll light a fire under him. I'll get him here.
No, it won't. No. What is Carpool Friday, anyway?
Carpool Friday is that's something I think he made up.
No, really, he made that up to.
If I had to guess, he loves catchphrases. He loves catchy words. Maybe he's sharing a car with Shannon today.
Ah, very good. Anyway, so I am under the influence of. Is it melatonin? Is that the sleep stuff?
Mm-hmm. And it's your old DJ name.
Melatonin. I ate two of the chewable melatonins last night. And, you know.
Hey, look who's
it's
here.
Okay.
Hey,
well, who's here?
Oscar.
It's Oscar.
Yay!
Oscar
Santana.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi. So I ate two of the melatonins last night, and it was, I'm trying to determine, because you two have had sleep issues.
Yeah.
Whether the melatonin is in any way hangover inducing.
No. Like an actual, did you drink and have melatonin?
Or do you think it's melatonin
that's hanging in your system?
No, I just had the melatonin.
What time did you take it?
Right before I turned on a TV show, and then I made it 15 minutes into The Night Manager, which is the latest television incarnation, and I couldn't like Hugh Laurie's vehicle.
Oh, okay.
And Tom, is it Hiddleston?
Huddleston, isn't it?
I don't know.
Now, is Hugh Laurie being
ask you. If
streaming or what channel?
By the way, if Rob and I were doing a show right now, I'd be like, two, seriously, Rob's 10 years older than I am intellectually. So it'd be two guys going, what was that? It would sound like Cocoonville on a Saturday afternoon. Who was it? Where, what, huh? What
is Hugh Laurie British Hugh Laurie, or is he being American Hugh Laurie?
Hugh Laurie, in the 15 minutes that I turned the show on, had not made his formal appearance. And I think when he had his little speech that they have at the beginning, he might have been American, but I don't know. He's a bad guy. I do know that. He is a very, very bad guy.
What channel?
I'm watching it on Netflix.
Okay.
On the Netflix. I'm watching it
I've
for
never
free.
Heard of that before.
On the Netflix. After, you know, spending the whole week pouring my hard-earned income into the pockets of Xfinity Comcast,
yes.
I've decided I'm cutting the cord anyway, so why did I even bother? Well, I'll tell you why I bother. Because, you know, you stumble on something that's good, and you stumble on something that's valuable and something you might not have seen in a long time.
You keep cable the same reason I keep a landline, just in case.
See, Carla's a big one on the landline, and I did not keep the landline. I believe that the landline is archaic. I don't believe that you should have a landline. I think we should all be cellular.
Well, my landline is actually through my internet now, though, so it actually goes out of my modem.
Does that bother you?
So that
you?
Makes it more. Does
I hate
that make it.
It
more.
Yeah, I do.
Why does it bother you?
Because the original reason to have a landline was in case of a power outage, you could still use your phone,
mm-hmm.
even when your cell phone was, you know, totally discharged of juice.
Right. Okay.
Now I can't. So now I just have to charge my cell phone in my car.
Yeah, but the expenses like worse than an actual regular landline.
It's pennies when you build it into your cable system.
Have you ever really like had a long conversation on a landline lately?
All the time. And also because of the fact that I live 20 miles further away from everything.
Yeah.
Sometimes if I'm doing like a call that is important, I need to have a landline.
That's fair.
So I was reading an interesting article today about probably maybe more successful than Mark Maron, maybe about the same. Joe Rogan, a guy that's
no, he's a monster. He's bigger than Maron.
He's bigger than the Rogan. And I'm reading about Joe article.
No, Rogan is bigger than Maron.
Maron, that's what I said. Yeah. Okay. So
because
Rogan
he has the
is,
podcast
is
and the fighting.
So months ago, I didn't take him on. I talked about how I didn't like Joe Rogan.
Right.
And since I was attacked, well, I know I was attacked. He's got 2 million downloads.
Yes.
He's a monster. He's terrific. That's why. Doesn't mean anything to me.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't. But I was attacked, and boy, did he get, man, oh, man. This was an expose from top to bottom about Rogan and the safe harbor for these whack jobs that come on Rogan. And I was reading it, and you know, one of the issues I always had with Rogan, because I didn't listen to Rogan, was thinking that he came from a political point of view.
Right.
And reading this article, I was able to figure out why that used to piss me off. But I've watched Rogan a couple of times, and it's all right. I mean, I like it. It's an interesting podcast, and a lot of our listeners just really attacked me when I jumped on Rogan a little bit. Well, this article is going to get hate mail because this article spends page after page after page about Joe Rogan and, you know, what he's doing and how he does it and how he doesn't, how he brings guests in and there's no pushback on the Rogan show and all that. And then people are just passionate about it, much like they are passionate about our world today. So I think it's, God, I wish I remember the name of the, it's a major website.
Love to read it.
That did it. It's it was posted on Facebook. It's on my Facebook page that somebody shared it, and then I read it. And he's got the passion of the people that love him, and then he's got people that, you know, are kind of in between. I think Joe Rogan I've determined from listening to Joe Rogan that Joe Rogan is really opposite of me in every possible way.
Hmm.
I mean, from top to bottom, the podcast has millions. I have thousands.
Right.
All right. The he is incredibly fit.
Yes.
I am a schlub.
Mm-hmm.
I'm listing the good things. He is a man that on his podcast, very little conflict, a tremendous amount of give and take. No real conviction about, you know, like calling anybody out on a conspiracy. He sits there for 4 hours with Alex Jones.
Mm.
I am somebody that would stab Alex Jones with knitting
needles.
Wouldn't
that seem like an eternity? Show. That would be like a sentence in hell. 4 hours with Alex Jones?
He is a stoner. I am a non-stoner.
Straight edge.
You know, I'm straight. No, I like my booze. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, Rogan likes booze too. I think he'd have a cocktail. So, but I have to say, in defense of Joe Rogan, I was reading this article and I know how it feels when you attain great success and people are throwing darts at you.
Yeah.
And it's jealousy, or it's the journalist who is taking on, yeah, you know, he's a media writer and that's what he's doing. If it's coming from another podcaster, maybe jealousy.
Writers like to take down the guy who's on top. That's just what they do.
When he puts in the things, you know, some of the knocks, it's not, look, our directive on this show is to make people laugh.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. Rogan's directive is kind of to have great guests on, and they
long
come
format.
On because it is a safe harbor.
Yeah,
it's not a harbor where you're coming in to debate. Now, what that means for society, it's a much larger issue. If you are formulating your ideas about the world and about life and about who you're going to vote for and about how you're going to live your life by listening to Joe Rogan, you're not doing the right thing. If you're listening to me and doing the same thing, you're not doing the right thing. This is a diversion. It's a diversion. And one of the things I feel when I turn on Joe Rogan's podcast is it is a peaceful place. But unfortunately, I agree with one tenet of the article. I don't like the whack jobs either, coming in and not being challenged.
Right.
Because I don't believe that like Rogan does to a certain extent, that all ideas should be met with an equal amount of openness. I don't buy that. Does he have any sort of? If somebody's a whack job, they got to be called on.
When he has a whack job in and he gives him 4 hours.
Yeah.
Does he ever? Is there ever an eye roll?
Like Alex Jones.
Yeah. Is there ever an eye roll? Is there ever a trace of snark? Like he's just letting them burn out.
He pushes back occasionally. I mean, he's chill. He is his persona. Is chill.
There's no fight. He does ask them questions. He gets a deeper.
He's question after question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not like he's sitting there and just talking. Just
letting him talk. All right.
But the format has allowed. This is the format. There are two things that have happened with the format. It allows these guests from all different walks of life. I think Elon Musk would probably be his best get to know it's a safe harbor. And at the same time, though, there's a certain political bent that they love the guy because they think, you know, I don't believe this is the basic tenet of me. He kind of rails against political correctness and all that stuff. I don't. I think political correctness has a etiquette, holding a door. You know, that's a stupid example, but calling people out, like I've talked about calling people out.
Right.
That's the way I do it. I don't bring it here because I'm trying to be.
Sure.
Like you're that. An 80s guy here.
But the what's that?
You're an 80s DJ here.
Well, I have to be careful of the. Yeah. If I was an 80s guy, it would be horrible. Like I did yesterday on the show when I get really in trouble.
Right.
But you know what?
Different
beware.
Time, Oscar.
Let me just say
different
about
time.
The Rogan.
Jock.
Yeah. The Rogan fans out there. Okay. Look. You can agree with a kind of, it doesn't affect me, so that's okay attitude until it affects you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it affects you, it bites you in the ass, and then that's terrible. We don't all have to be zealots that have a microphone in front of us, all right? And I've chosen to, even on my political podcast, not be a zealot. I think we need an exchange of ideas. With that said, that's my caveat with this. With that said, it's not all smoke a fatty and chill and everybody's got to be heard. Bullshit. No. If there's somebody out there that's going to cause harm and incite, you have to be aware of it. Or you're going to wake up one morning and we're going to be in a world of hurt. With that said, I think the overwhelming amount of Joe Rogan content is fascinating. And I think he's a smart guy. He's extremely well read.
Yes.
And that's what he does. But if you're talking about Joe Rogan to get your attitude towards life, you know, it'd just be like listening to any of us that do this and try. And I think really, and I'm just going to say one last thing on it. I think that's the problem. Okay. You want to be like Joe Rogan? Read everything that comes down the pike. Read everything that comes your way. Go ahead and get some, you know, get your own opinions. Get your own opinions. Just because we have microphones doesn't mean we're better than anybody else. That's what caused the problem.
Who says that everybody wants to be like Joe Rogan? Does
the
article talk to that?
It's not that everybody wants. That the people that he, the gist of the article is that people of a certain political bent, right wing, white supremacist, racist, people that hide behind, hey, I don't need to be political correct. You know, I don't need to be politically correct. He's got a lot of passion that way. He's got a lot of passion on that side, you know. And
but wouldn't
I just,
you say that both sides, it's become, I would say, in the last 10 years especially.
No, you're making false equivalent argument. I don't want to get political, but
okay,
you're making
I don't
a
either,
false
I don't
equivalency
either.
Argument.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
It's not both sides. It's
okay,
not,
then let's.
It's not, look, let me just say one thing. This is me talking, right. Not you, not anybody else.
All right.
My philosophy, there is not a both sides here.
All right.
There is a groundswell of a certain type of behavior that should be abhorrent to every American citizen. And I'm talking about guys that are borderline white hood guys.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Guys that think your skin color, Oscar's from Bolivia, I shouldn't be. Those are the people you got to be careful of, okay?
Right.
There are also a lot of listeners that listen to Rogan that are different, but the ones that are passionate are out there. Just like the people that get the, just make your own mind up and shout down the assholes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I have to say that. Sorry to make you edit again, but that's it. But the last thing I wanted to say on this is, it's great when you think about having a dialogue with people, and we all learned from the Covington thing to take a breath. That's left. And now there is some equivalency. Left, the left wing folks that saw the MAGA hat, saw the kid, take a breath. Take a little bit of a breath. Because sometimes when you don't take that breath, you end up doing whatever you care about, the noble things that you do care about, which I care about too, you do more harm than you do good because you overreact, and we all overreact in this instantaneous society.
And that's what I was going to say before, is that in the last 10 years, especially with the social media, it's become a lot easier to overreact because the coverage is so
easy.
Instantaneous.
So I mean, easy. I fight it every day. And I fight it every single day. It's ridiculous.
If you wanted to be well-read 20 years ago, you go out and you read. Now, you can't. Because on your way to buying a newspaper, there's 75 headlines in your newsfeed that are telling you how to think.
Even if you triple check the source,
right.
The source could get it wrong.
Of course.
And let me say this, that you know when you're talking, you're throwing darts at a guy, and I'm sorry not to quote.
I'm going to find the article.
When you're doing that, you're also taking the whole. You know, and you know, the tiny little moments that don't contribute. You know, Rogan's like everybody else. Everything he does is not a certain way on that show. So remember that. You know, there are things I do that piss people off. They still like other aspects of the show. Mm-hmm. You know, but it was interesting. You know, and you know what it tells me? Even with another podcast, it tells me Oscar Santana. Podcasts are here, my friend.
Oh, they're not going anywhere.
Podcasts are the way of the day, and and they're getting bigger and they're getting more successful.
Massive.
And you know, we're excited about that, and more power to them. That's what I say.
I think can't find this article. Jesus.
All right, hold on a second. I'll get it for you. Hold on.
On your page?
You listen more than anybody else.
Yeah, I actually watch Rogan. I subscribe to him on YouTube. I like his show. While it's long format, I like his show. It really is dependent on guests.
Oh, guest dependent.
Like, I don't watch 4 hours of Alex Jones because I'm not an Alex Jones guy, but I'll watch 2 hours of Elon Musk because I'm on Elon Musk mark, right?
Yeah. How, and I did not see the Elon Musk. How
it was fun to see a billionaire hanging out, having a drink. The weed thing didn't bother me. I thought it was crazy for stockholders, but it was, you get to see people.
In the middle? They said in the article, they said he was in the middle of his meltdown. What did he appear to be melting down?
This is what's crazy. We as a society expect to see people in certain roles in certain ways. Mm-hmm. What was magnificent about that interview and that video was that you see this man at every turn is in a perfect suit and a perfect button down, finally just relax and not have this facade in front of him and not a PR guy next to him wrangling him. And yes, he might have been getting to a place where he was frankly hitting a wall between SpaceX and Tesla. And you're like, wow.
This is before he got booted out of his company.
Yes, but you get to see the rawness and really what this pressure does to even a person that doesn't have to work, frankly.
Right, right.
He doesn't have to do all of this. He could walk away tomorrow and be like, I'm good.
Bye, jerks.
I don't need this anymore.
Yeah.
So it is surreal.
That's, well, I think I can't find it. I'm sorry.
That's what
I made the whole thing up.
I looked on your feed. I just couldn't find it. I
was fake news, Mike. Come on.
Maybe somebody messaged it to you, but it doesn't matter. I just want to give the credit to the publication. But I know this, that I think Mike makes a great point here that it doesn't matter how great your content is. It really matters, like, that you're genuine about it. Mm-hmm. And if there is a political lean to your content, and you know, we have a political lean to this content that has been made very clear in the last 4 years. That doesn't mean people are going to vote the way we talk or think about politics.
Right.
I want to say that's not the case. And there's so many shows. The average American listens to 7 shows if they listen to podcasts. And 50% of Americans that just came out 3 weeks ago listen to podcasts.
It's Slate, by the way. It's Slate.
Slate and has a left-leaning publication. The,
well, I know it does.
Yeah.
Calm down. Calm down, Todd. How Joe Rogan's usually no, you're not. How Joe Rogan's hugely don't pretend you are. Doesn't matter. How Joe Rogan's this is the same argument I get with all you youngsters
and also
all you children.
He voted Democrat when he votes,
right? How Joe Rogan's hugely popular podcast became an essential platform from free thinkers who hate the left. That's the title of the article, and I think it's an interesting read. And
I'll ask Todd if he's really into Joe Rogan or if he's just kind of into him.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably my good barometer, right?
Basically, you and Todd and Chris and all the youngsters are like, yeah, all right, come on.
Yeah.
And then you wake up one morning and you go, Daddy's in jail. But anyway, let's start the show, shall we?
Papa? Is that even the country?
Michael O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Daddy. Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Right now, my favorite show is Shark Tank. Oh, my God. I love the way that they reject people on Shark Tank. Right? So classy. Don't you wish you could use that same tactic just to get out of boring conversations with people in your life? Like, you're in your office like, ooh, I got to stop you right there, Mike. I don't see anything proprietary about your conversation about the weather. It lacks creativity, and I don't see myself getting excited in the future. So for those reasons, I'm out. Oh, that's good.
Uh-huh. Would I, could I?
So good. That feels like when you plug your USB cord in right side up, first try. I have seen every episode of Shark Tank because I have a prescription for Adderall. Adderall is dangerous. Essentially, what happened with Adderall is the government was like, okay, cocaine is bad. And then we were like, but what if we made it blue? Like, you got us there. I guess give it to every child that even breaks eye contact.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Delighted to have you with us. We appreciate you sending us your towns. Please keep them coming in because we love letting you know that you're listening and acknowledging you. Hilliard, Washington, Sproul, Pennsylvania, Omaha, Nebraska, Lodi, California, Gresham, Oregon, London, England. Thank you this week for those towns. We'll have more for you next week, and we are very, very excited to be with you. Thanks to our long-term fans for keeping this show on the air. We are delighted to be with you, and our show today brought to you by Cornerstone. Cornerstone, a great group, Cornerstone First Financial. Mm. They're on the bottom floor of the Mike O'Mara Studios building, and they are good people, and they've been with us. Not only were they were our landlords for a time, and they have maintained their relationship with us, and they want you to know that interest rates are down a full percentage point from their peak last fall, and the Fed has been giving signals. The Fed is not. We got to update this, Rob Spiewak, because the Fed's, I think they're letting us know that's it. No more interest rate hikes, and they're back around 4%. So if you're buying or refinancing or consolidating debt, Cornerstone guarantees you the lowest rate. Work with the friends of TMOS and save some dough. Now licensed in California, along with Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Georgia, Florida, and Colorado. Click their banner on our website. Visit cornerstonefirst.com or call them at 866-625-1221. Cornerstone First Financial, personal attention from application to closing. First of all, I glanced at our brackets this morning and I looked at them and I thought, I seem to remember it wasn't all that. How bad did we do?
Well, you know what? If you just started going through the games as the results rolled in,
you're echoing throughout the room. You need to do something with your microphone.
If you just started to look at the way that the results were at the front games, we were doing great. And then I started to make the X's. Here's where we misstepped.
Okay.
Marquette did not win. I'm sorry. Marquette win. We picked Murray State.
Let's start again. Start again.
All right. I apologize.
This is your lack of sports, though. You don't. All right. Let's just try it again. I want to get the information.
Murray State was the upset.
Like, yes. And we picked Marquette. And that was not a good over Murray State.
That's a dinger.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, a buzzer. Yeah. Buzzer, we got that wrong.
We got Marquette wrong?
Yeah, we got Marquette wrong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Marquette got upset.
Yeah.
All right.
We also picked Nevada over Florida.
I didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do that.
That was a homer pick. Mm-hmm.
And this one, Mike, this one will hurt the most, I think. This one will hurt because I remember changing this. St. Mary's was beaten by Villanova. So
yeah, but you used my mom's name, and that's why I went on.
I know, and that's
Villanova is a powerhouse.
Yeah. I know, but that was the one that was going to win us the bracket
because
we were brave enough.
Marquette was a massive upset. That's that 20% of upsets that they had, and everybody
a star
else
was
did
born.
Well.
Yeah, and we did, but those are the three that we blew yesterday. Those are the three games we
blew
yesterday. Not too bad.
Who did we? What were our winners?
Our winners were Maryland, LSU, Minnesota, Michigan State, Gonzaga, Baylor, Florida State, Michigan, Kentucky, Wofford, Kansas, Auburn, and Purdue. which is
Woodford
pretty good.
Woodford was a big one. Not really. Woodford, even though.
But at the root of this, gentlemen, this is why, again, we're not on any sports talk station. Our bracket is busted. It's over.
Oh, yeah, it's
that's
over.
That's all it is.
Yeah, but everybody, a bazillion people had their bracket busted.
Well, that's nice is that we're really focusing on the positive.
Yeah.
but hold on. Don't throw it away, because we still could come out the big winners, because all those teams that won will go on. It's the bottom line is who you picked at the end of the day.
I get it, but if we're looking at the traditional bracket, it's you only move forward if you have the perfect bracket.
Right.
If we're looking at our method of winning $1 billion,
if North Carolina wins, we all split $1 billion.
Yeah. The St. Mary's was the Nevada pick was not what I expected.
I was in the first half.
You were
of the games,
one. You did Nevada. You lobbied.
I also
for
did St. Mary. You know, blame me for everything.
Well, we're equally culpable with St. Mary because Rob said St. Mary's. I said no, Villanova. He said, well, for your mother, and I'm well. There we go.
I know. Mike, we won the Irish bracket.
Don't bet with your heart. That's it. Let's bring Maddie Masiello in here for part
two. Oh, yay, Maddie!
Let's bring her in. Yesterday, we barely scratched the surface. I didn't realize she'd been on the show before. You know, the minute I leave, you guys immediately take some material that I could have used down the road. But that's okay. I should be here. That's the way it should be.
You're just arguing Oscar with yourself.
No, I'm not arguing with myself. Hi, Maddie.
Hello.
And Oscar's off camera, which is always... He's on camera for you, but he's...
People.
Right?
I'm on camera for the people.
Yeah, you're gonna get rude Oscar now because he's not on camera.
Maddie, yesterday it was great talking to you. Do you reflect on your visits on the program? Do you get feedback from family? Does anything happen to you, or do you just go about your day?
Well, I do see the fan club, and then I get some private messages and people comment on things. So I do see that, and so far it's been pretty positive. But so thank you to all those people.
That's not the best thing, is when Maddie comes in and says, do you want an IGTV for today's show? And I said, oh, yeah, let's do your segment. And she goes, oh, me?
It was great. I watched it.
Yeah, it's so weird editing yourself. And
what she hated putting up is that Maddie is in this segment edited by Madeline Messi.
Yeah, right? It's like Maddie posted this. Here I am.
Here I am. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I liked your Buffalo Treasure
Thank
insert.
You.
That
and
nice.
I really realized how Italian I was because I talk with my hands. I never really knew
that. Yeah, but you're cool. I like it. And you are popular. People like you. People like you.
They sing your name in the shower. Yeah.
They do.
Maddie Masiello. Do you cook Italian, by the way?
I do. Yeah, I love to cook. I used to think I wanted to be a chef.
Whoa.
Yeah. So big in the kitchen.
What is the specialty of your kitchen?
Well, I was really big into desserts, and I loved creme brulee. So when I was 10 years old, my Christmas present was a blowtorch to make those creme brulees.
Oh, that's sophisticated cooking.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Right there.
It was
that's
a lot of
fun. Awesome.
But for arson as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Pyromania over here.
Do you still make yourself a good creme brulee?
Oh, yeah. I'll bring it in sometime.
Oh, I'd like that.
I'll
bring
send
in the
one
torch,
of you, Mike.
Yummy in my tummy.
That's pretty good.
I don't think I've ever had regular creme brulee.
Italian
French.
Classic? Any classic Italian dishes? Creme brulee wouldn't be your big Italian. You know?
Right, no.
Is there a brulee in Italian cooking at all? Is there a creme brulee in Italian food?
I'm not too sure.
Is.
I don't think
no,
so.
No, but there's a lot of arson. If we want to go back to that, for the insurance.
The mob and such.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, you mean the Goodfellas.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the greatest scenes in Goodfellas when he's sitting there arguing about going on a date while they're burning down the bar.
And also, you call embarrassing me in front of my friend. What do you mean that? Don't worry about it.
Hits him over the head with a bottle.
And also remember in The Sopranos, they burned down or it blew up Artie Bucco's place.
That's right.
Arthur Bucco.
Standard practice.
Exactly.
Tried to do it in at O'Mara's, but unfortunately there just weren't any mafia members in Manassas.
And it was a rainy weekend.
Mike, I've got some intel on Maddie. Maybe you want to know a little bit more about her.
From the upper left.
Yeah, thank you. Maddie is in a loving relationship, but...
No, not
says.
No to you. I just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like...
Wait, hold on. That exchange has to be spotlighted.
A lot going on
You there. Said Maddie's in a loving relationship, and then Maddie made a sound that was like...
So
Yeah.
What ends up happening when you work at a radio station or you're at Podcast Village and you have a tight family, you start seeing people get like new places or
sure.
they're moving in together. That's just what happens, especially the youngsters, right?
Yeah.
And
young love.
Well,
first
even,
love.
Not even love. I think I heard one of the girls.
All right. You made me do it.
What? Young love.
Young love.
First love.
First love.
Is filled with such devotion.
Sonny James, everybody. Sonny James.
So Maddie is in a May-December romance, and we found out because people were asking.
Those are disgusting.
People were asking, like, She is the December.
Wow. Oh, hold on a second. Wait, no. If Maddie's a kid.
What does it mean?
It means that you're dating someone who has a big age difference than you.
Younger.
That's why I said that's to.
Yeah, he's three weeks younger.
We'll explain
to clarify.
Because it didn't get a laugh. Let me explain. The May December. I am the poster child for the May December relationship.
My parents are 15 years apart as well, Mike. So
okay,
I get
so you get it.
Yes.
You know what the deal is. And mom is on the young side.
Yes. My mom is 57 and my dad's 72.
Way to go, Mr. Mayor.
Hey, good job, Tony.
All right.
Tony!
Hey, Tony.
Tony Massey.
So, for some reason, I want to sing his name. I feel like I might.
Somehow it came up that.
Knock at the door.
That Maddie is living in sin with her boyfriend. And that's just what everybody does these days.
He's three weeks younger?
Yes, 3 weeks younger.
Well, but this is the key. This is the key.
Maturity, though, Oscar. Off the charts.
Oscar, you are such a conjuring ass.
She moved in with him because he wanted someone to buy cigarettes for him.
Oh, he's a smoker?
No, I'm kidding. Just for the age difference.
Oh, all right.
Mike, this is
sorry.
So Maddie slaves away all day at work.
Grinding.
Right? She's slave. She's here at 8 a.m. She leaves at 5:30. And she gets home. And I was like, where does your boyfriend work? She goes, oh, no, he's still in school. And I said, oh, okay. Does he come home after school with his backpack on and you came home from slaying the dragon and you're like, what'd you do all day? And he's playing video games?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Oh, I've seen that on TV shows.
I know. Yeah. The dishwasher is still full and there's dishes in the sink. I'm like, you were home all day.
You
could have emptied the dishwasher.
You know how bad it is, Mike, when you let creme brulee dishes sit. They're impossible to clean.
Yeah, let me say, would it be safe to say, and I don't want to make this a vanilla generic discussion, but would it be safe to say that in the communal home, that the sink full of dishes would be the definitive undone chore?
I mean,
if there's anything that has to be tended to in a home every day, we have it. Last night, I hear clink, clank, clink, clink, clank in the kitchen, and I know Carla's tackling the dishes of the day, and I am always thrilled when that happens, and Carla probably does it a lot more than I do it. I do it occasionally. I hate the job. Everybody hates it. I don't know who really loves and by the way, in my household, if we have a weekend where there are three square meals served in the home,
right,
and then guests come over for wine, there's not, and you have a five-year-old that doesn't eat, it's not a sink. It's a landfill. It's
Does it look like in my house
straws from wine glasses because you don't want to get your teeth red.
Does it start to look like a game of Jenga? Because that's what it's like at my house. Because the kids will stack left and right.
Stack it over and fall it over. It's terrible. So anyway, I just wanted to inject that. Go ahead, Oscar. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no. Maddie was talking. She was talking about her boyfriend and how much she loves him.
So he's lazy.
Yeah, well, it's funny, too, because then Oscar, like, when you think about gender roles, and then Oscar comes in, he's like, when the dishes are home, like, my wife doesn't do them, but I'm like, I relate. It goes on both sides, you know?
Let me, this is the best way. First of all, how long have you been hanging out with this guy?
2 years, a little over 2 years.
How long have you been living under the same roof?
Since July, so
and
almost
your parents
a year.
Know this?
Yeah.
Okay.
So better part of a year, which means, things can't be that bad because you got to.
No.
But do you tend to the dishes? Because dishes are important in a relationship.
Yes.
They are.
Do you do the dishes?
I do. So we've started a system where we will alternate days because it's gotten bad enough that we had to implement
rules. You got a system. That's
me as in you.
Winner. Winner.
But do you alternate days or alternate like batches of dishes? Because if you alternate batches of dishes, he'll let them sit for 3 or 4 days, I bet.
Well, it's alternating dinners because we cook together. And so if he does lunch or something, nice. I will expect that to be done. Yes. And then I'll come in and I have a look. And if I give him the look, he knows that the dishes are in the sink.
You have a system where he does where the meals are arranged. One of you will prepare a meal. Is that the way
that
goes?
Well, we'll cook together. And then like I'll do the dishes for that night. And then the next night when we cook together, he'll do all the dishes for that night.
All right, so that's a good system. Yes. Let me tell you how important this is, especially with young love. My first marriage, dishes weren't done for 3 days. I got divorced.
Wow.
Yeah.
Still doesn't remember her name.
No. But he remembers the dishes.
Yeah, we couldn't resolve it. I just can't, you know. And I think she was the initiator of that. I can't see myself staying in this relationship. So get a lawyer.
Yeah, they always are.
So anyway, it was, women. It was not happy. Not happy. So... Other than the he's home and doing it, how are things going?
Things are great. We went to the Caps game a couple nights ago, thanks to Oscar and Fried, got the tickets.
Fried is the best.
Yes, he is
the absolute best.
Yeah, but he knows nothing about sports, so sitting next to him was just, I had to explain everything. He didn't know what a Zamboni was, didn't know what the name was. He literally thought we were going to a baseball game when I said the Caps, because he thought it was the Nationals.
My God.
Yeah.
All right, hold
on. He's worse than me.
Yeah, he's bad.
It's
funny, though.
He doesn't know, so he doesn't follow any sports?
Not really, no.
What is his passion? What is he, all guys have to have a hobby.
I mean, he's kind of a nerd, so I guess.
Like Overwatch?
He likes nerdy stuff?
Yeah, I mean, like a academic, I guess. He's very into school, he wants to be a lawyer, so. Oh,
good.
Oh. So he's super smart.
Yeah, he's very smart.
Well, that's all right.
Like, he's going to have a passion outside of school, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Was he raised by a mom and dad, broken home, anything like that?
No, nothing like that. His dad's a professor at USC, actually.
But his dad's an intellectual.
Yeah.
His dad just cast a check for $500,000.
I asked him about that. Yeah, I was like, some stuff's going down there.
So you know, I mean, his father was a professor and an academic, and that's the environment where sports weren't of paramount importance.
Does he get excited on Pi Day?
No, not like a math guy. He's like a humanities guy.
A humanities
guy. I like
guy.
The and pie is exciting, though. But
is his mom an intellectual, too?
She's actually very artistic.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Well, I mean, you know, I kind of give a free pass to someone who, you know, comes from either Rob Spiewak, A Broken Home.
Thank you.
Where the father was not in the picture to, you know, to throw the ball. Mm. And man, he has the 23andMe composition of an elite athlete. So
we didn't need that at Ann Analysis to know that. I mean,
you know
at
what?
Me.
Yeah, sure. You could have been like a defensive tackle on your high school football team. That's true. Big enough. Mm-hmm. You're probably bigger than most kids in your
and
class.
And you could take a hit.
Yes, I can.
He bring it on this show every day.
From a
you know what? Maybe we can have a fist fight between me and Maddie's boyfriend.
What? You know, I don't. I
did do the dishes.
Watch a black and white movie.
But here's the important thing: he's getting the education to with the eye on the prize. If you're saying he's pre-law, is he pre-law or is he in law school now?
No, he's pre-law and double majoring in economics as well.
So where does he find time for the video games?
He likes pie.
Yeah, well, I don't like pie.
Stop it! I'm trying to give this guy a little out here, okay?
Yeah.
He's great.
Where's he going to school?
He's currently at American.
Okay, at AU. Is he going to stay at American and go to Washington College of Law? Do you think? Is there a chance of that?
I don't think so. I think he's kind of done with AU and the DC.
To go to Georgetown.
My buddy that made the hop from AU to Georgetown. You know, sky's
lots of good schools online now. Lots of them.
Yeah. So
Arizona,
well,
something.
Better Call Saul.
That's right.
And would you say that the relationship is on terra firma?
I don't know what that means either.
Solid ground.
Yeah. Yes.
Or is it on ice?
No, solid ground. Very happy.
On ice. I just feel like we've really like gotten to the heart of the matter here. This is great. How does he like your employment at Podcast Village?
He likes it.
And on the Mike O'Mara show.
I mean, I come home with funny stories, and I always say it's nice to start your day off laughing. So being on the show, like, I love that, and so I'll share it with him and stuff. But he does like
that's usually the case on this show, unless I talk about Joe Rogan.
Sure. Right. But he does, like, I'll come home and, like, I feel like if we didn't live together, I would never see him because I feel like I put in a lot of hours here. So,
That's good. Well, so everything's good. Everything's wonderful.
Yeah, everything's great.
Do you pack his lunch for him and send him on his way in the morning?
Absolutely not.
And back in the room, this is what I really wanted to ask. I wasn't going to ask you about your personal life. I was going to ask you about working back there and in Podcast Village. Everything's fine. Everything, you know, anything we could do for you, anything to change. The listeners, you're very popular people.
Yes.
Like having you
Thank
on the
you.
Show. I want to make sure, you know, obviously I can only make you so happy. And that, you know, that is, you know, we talk about ka-ching, ka-ching. But the Podcast Village thing is going well for you, too? You're happy
with that? Yeah, everything's
great.
Everybody here is so supportive and very welcoming. And it's good. Yesterday, there were like 10 of us sitting at this table for lunch and everything. We were just laughing and telling stories and everything. It was great.
If I, and now I'm going to put you, with your last question, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
This will be good.
Great.
If you could change one thing, not about Podcast Village, but about the Mike O'Mara Show, and I'm talking about anything, you can even, are you ready for this? I'm going to give you this opportunity, and I will lay myself bare.
Oscar has his head in his hands.
Even about the content, if you could change one thing that, you know, obviously, I'd prefer not. Wait, is he signaling? Is Oscar signaling
over
there?
No, he's just. I
don't
think
signal.
He's covering his face.
I was waiting for the explosion.
Yeah, waiting for what's coming.
If you could change one thing about our operation, be it business, be it technical, be it content, don't look at them. Don't look at them. I'm asking you. What would you? What is something you would change?
Speak from
because
your
I'm
heart.
Because I'm sure you think about it. This is how I get my feedback about the Mike O'Mara Show.
The first thing that comes to mind is less Ethan.
Oh my God! Wow.
Sorry, he's in the other room.
Wow.
Poor Ethan.
Funny.
I did not expect
that's funny.
That.
That's funny.
That's funny.
She's making a joke. But is there any little tiny thing that you would, you know, make it better? You
How
know,
can
know?
We improve your workflow?
Yeah.
When I think of something, I'll let you know.
All right. Okay.
She's not shy.
See? Politician's
she's
daughter
not
right there.
I'll let you
politician's
know.
Yeah. daughter. Okay, very good. Yeah, I was hoping you'd say Pony Boy. But anyway, that's
great.
Sometimes it goes without saying, Mike. Sometimes the answer's in the question.
I love from the disembodied. Yeah. All right, we have to take a break. We'll come back with more fun. And we have a big news about a very, very, very happy daughter who's on a bit of a win streak. We'll talk to Rob about that when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Love in this whole world, and I found mine.
Can I play just to the hook?
Maddie and her nerd boyfriend.
The heavenly touch of your embrace tells me no one could take your place.
And I misspoke, Mike. It's Tab Hunter, but I think we all knew that.
Hi, this is Golden Globe winning actor Jeff Bridges. Coming to you from deep beneath the sea.
Sure.
And when I need anything, I always use the TMOS Shopping Center. Uh-huh. It's the best, man. Super far out. Whether it's Target, Macy's, or Walmart, I get everything I need just by clicking the banner at MikeOMaraShow.com. So whether it's Krill or blowhole grease or eyebrow scissors for my brother Bo, I always get a whale of a deal. Plus, I love supporting the dudes at TMOS. It's groovy, man. So hit the TMOS website.
I'm tired of it. It's old. I'm tired of it. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Sticking to a weight loss plan can be hard, especially with the mental obstacles that prevent progress. With Noom, you lose the guilt and learn how to develop a new relationship with food and live a healthier lifestyle. That's what's great about Noom. With Noom, you don't diet. You learn better habits for a new, better you. Noom puts weight loss in the palm of your hand. The Noom app is on your phone whenever and wherever you need it. Noom also gives you a live goal specialist, but even better, Noom has one of the biggest food databases. Database. It's the most important thing I love about Noom.
Yes.
Oh, it's the database. Greatest. It's got one of the biggest available food tracking made easy. I love it. Helped me last night with my food tracking. Mm. I love it. Noom is designed for results. Lose your old habits by signing up for your trial today at Noom. Noom.com/TMOS. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/TMOS to start your trial today. Again, that's Noom.com/TMOS. Start losing weight for good. All right, Rob posted on social media that you went up to a event last night, and so we had the acceptance to college last
yes.
week,
mm-hmm.
and or was it over the weekend that she got it?
It was accepted? Tuesday she got it. I think
Tuesday.
It was a Tuesday.
This past Tuesday.
Exactly,
so this is a
yeah.
big week. And then last night, I saw you and your mom and Julia, and you posted something about graphic design, right?
This this was great. Last
she's already
year,
like an accomplished professional, it seems.
Last
like.
Year, she placed second for her region for artistic design. This year, she placed first.
Woo!
And this is what, man. Which I thought was so great. No one else from the school showed up. Because I think they're a little bitter that she won. We had our own table.
Why would they be bitter?
Because they just, you know, said, well, I guess Julia won again. And so no one showed up. There were four people that could have picked up awards last night. And Julia was the only one
who
showed up.
Why do you have that look on your face?
Because Pony and I look at each other like, maybe they just have something else to do than to go to this thing.
I think it's sort of, I mean, they had you know? They had a plaque to pick up. I mean, they had awards there. I don't know why they didn't show up.
Not every family is as supportive as you are, is what I'm saying.
Thank you, Oscar, for turning this into something negative. Within 25 seconds.
No, you turned it into something negative because yeah. you were saying you thought that they were bitter.
I think they are a little bitter.
You think they're jealous of it? Now, why do I think Julia probably hasn't said that?
No, she. Julia's take last night is kind of weird that I forget. No, one of the names is Perovi, and I think there was maybe a. Another name. I can't remember the names.
These are the people from her school
that did not show up, who got their names read and did not walk the and did not come to get their plaque. It was very strange.
Well, wasn't it all the way up in Baltimore?
It was, but up until day of, I know at least two of them had RSVP'd yes, and then all of a sudden they don't show up.
So was she disappointed that her classmates weren't there?
Not really. Because she was there.
Was this yesterday?
This was last night.
That is so snarky. You're like, you gave yourself a little head thing. Like, you know, you're
I'm proud of my kid.
The weather was terrible yesterday. Terrible. There was a monsoon coming down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure if there was a foreign last name in that, they're like, you know what? We're not driving. Good job. We'll get the plaque later.
I just didn't know. I was just going to say congratulations, and she did that. I didn't know that.
It was the, what
that
it
there
is.
Was this
it's
under.
Pone Bone, please
backstory.
Weigh in.
Doesn't she have beef with the pierogi girl or whatever?
It's pierogi, and yes, they do not get along.
Mm. See, you got to say that.
Yeah.
We don't know that. We don't know that.
Because they have been sort of neck and neck at number one and number two for the entire run.
So there's
run
a rivalry?
Program. There's a rivalry, yeah. And I think that's probably part of it. But it was the organization
did
is called.
Did she know that she was going to win when she went up there?
Yeah. Because it's you're issued an invitation. It's basically an evening. It's thrown by an organization called Pajama, which is the Printing and Graphics Association of the Mid-Atlantic. And it was the Excellent in Print Awards. And everyone, you know, sponsors it. And they go up and there's a great cocktail party. And then for 2 hours, you sit around and everybody reads everyone else's name. And that's what goes on. But there's also set up, there's booths from all the big sponsors. And we luckily got read early in the evening, so we didn't have to stay for the entire night.
Anybody see my wife just lean in and grab my wallet out of my pocket?
Can
and
I ask you a question?
She got the wallet.
Why don't just get a bank card in her name?
Yeah. Like, she has a bank card in her name.
I'm just saying.
She
like,
has my bank card. Same account, Oscar. She has a bank
why
card.
Why is she always grabbing your wallet?
Because she likes to.
Why don't you just give her some freedom? You know, you don't have to.
She has total freedom.
Maybe she likes touching his ass.
Now you're talking.
If you watch the video, she just shook him down.
No, the thing about it is she goes, she grabs it, takes that on my wallet, and then I get this. She, from the like from the door, I get throws it down on the counter. Just a teeny tiny bit of respect for doing this broadcast.
So you let her have her own money. You're okay with that?
Yeah, and she can vote.
Hit the alarm for him. Hit the alarm for him, for Christ's sake. I let her have her
she
own money.
She lets her have her own money.
Carla.
She can vote, smoke cigarettes, anything she wants. Drive a car, show her face, take off her burka, the whole nine yards.
By the way, this would be the classic. This is a classic TMOS segment right now.
It is.
We're busting each other's balls so fast. You need a diagram to keep track of it. No, she doesn't like to carry cash around. So when she needs cash, it's like, here I am. Me, as Rob would tell you, there was a line back on the old Don and Mike show way back when.
Well, you wrote it on a wall.
I'm naked without cash.
You wrote it on the wall outside Graceland and then signed your name.
I'm naked without cash. That's it. So there's a rivalry there.
There is.
And there was a little. So I understand maybe what you wanted to see because you're an angry, bitter man. You wanted to see the other kid and the disappointment on the kid's face when your daughter walked
up to her. Yeah, and I would have worked her a little bit. But you know what? It was all good when all was said and done.
Aren't these kids like 17?
18.
Yes.
Legal adults. But the thing is that Julia was so proud. And here, just I'll give you something lighthearted and then something
How
funny
How many other
that
kids
enjoy.
Were supposed to be there that stipped her?
I think it was... five. It was either four or five on the team. So I think
she's a pariah.
People. Yeah, she is. Yeah. But love.
No, is she really ostracized?
No, she's not ostracized, but
but I
think
is she really? Is she really? I don't know. Loved? I didn't know about this dynamic.
I think there is a rivalry. I mean, because Mike, only one can be the best. And and I know this because last year, same ceremony, Julia was number two and she did not like it. She wants to be the best.
So yeah, but they she went. Knew she
but
was
she was a big enough person she to went. Show. Yes.
So when did you track with? Were you sitting at a big round table with nobody there except you, your mom, and Julia?
Exactly. With the sign that says
that
students.
Sucks. You know what? Hold on. You know you're making it sound like you're the guilty party here. You're not. That's a suck ass move. Yeah. If they got invitations
especially,
and they riz-vip to this and they didn't go because Julia was going to win, I think that sucks.
As
ass.
A 5 o'clock, they were expected to be there. They had their name tags on the table and everything. So that was a little that was an
and
odd.
Did she
situation.
Offer? Did you? Did, was this your theory or did she offer like? That's
I think
what she
we sort of
we
bounced back and forth, and I said, "Why do you think this would have happened?" She said, "Well, there might be some jealousy, or maybe you know they're not into not winning the number one.
Not everybody can win the pajama.
Exactly the pajama." Jama
but
Awards.
The thing about it, but here's the thing. Does she interact with these kids?
Has to, because there's a lot of team efforts. And they work well together. But you
they
know,
don't
are
celebrate
there,
together.
Are there, are, among but last the five, night was a solo win. Mm.
Among the five that weren't there, is there a little, is there a clickiness a little bit? Or?
You know what? I don't think you would say there's a clickiness because they don't socialize. They work together, but there's no social aspect.
Yeah. So they were jealous they didn't show up. But she was there. You were there with your mom.
And we also
she is accomplished because this is not the first time she has been recognized for her talent in the area of graphic design. By the way, a skill that we have relied on for years in radio it's wonderful. It's terrific. A terrific logo is amazing.
Well,
that's
not just
our
logo,
area.
Poster.
I mean, we saw posters, all of it. We saw all of it last night.
Commercial
the technology.
Campaign.
The thing that impressed me most about it, if I can have 5 seconds to
technology.
If I can just be a proud dad. She shows up in her Skills USA red sport jacket that she hates. She looks professional. She looks like she's probably about 25 actually when she shows up. And she's interacting with all these booths, like, you know, corporate representatives from Canon and from all of these amazing companies. And she's
so they're headhunters there looking for scouting talent.
Gotta get the
and
talent
she
early,
is,
Mike.
You know, swapping business cards and handling herself. And I'm just stepping back and watching her work.
You're going to be so lucky when she starts getting employed.
And it was awesome. Really cool. But the one moment that my mom and I actually
it's
had
gonna
to
be his ticket.
Yeah, it is.
Had to
it should be.
My mom and I actually had to step back because we get up to the booth for it was a printing company that has one of only four laser cutting printers in the world.
Whoa.
So if you see like a greeting card that has intricate stuff cut out of it, it's done by one of these four companies, and this is a Baltimore-based company. And there
were T-shirts that way,
and they're with holes in them,
right at the nipples.
Can't take that off with one hand.
No.
So
is that a hair? Is that a hair, Dirk?
So all right. Most of the people at this convention either look like a young happening like 20 something in a suit that's too small, or they look like Michael Hughes, if that means anything to you. You know, sort of a
corporate America.
Yeah, corporate America type guy. Well, this is a corporate America guy who really looks put together. And we're looking at some of these amazing cutout Christmas cards and graduation announcements and really fantastic stuff. And I look and I pick up one of the cards. He's got a little display, and I grab one of his cards and it's name of his company, his name, and it says they're based in Baltimore, Maryland. And I said, because we're up there at it's one of those sort of like halls where they do wedding receptions and conventions. And I say, this is remarkable work. And I'm really expecting to have like a really sort of level conversation with this guy. And he turns to me and he says, I know, we've got one of only four printers in a whole country that cuts paper with a laser. And I look at my mom and she is making a super yikes face. Her bottom lip is like... And so she backs away, and I said, this Christmas card is great. He said, I know. Look at this. He said, see that snowflake? Hold on.
Hello there.
And he pulls out his iPhone. He puts a video. He says, look at at it. That laser's cutting out all them snowflakes all the time. And he said, and there's only four of them. He said, hold on, I will show you something, another Christmas cord. And he pulls out one. And he
you want to run at this
I love
point.
This. And he says, I love it.
Look at this. Don't it look like a snow globe? And I said, yeah. And I'm really at this point trying to stifle laughter because my mom is now making eye contact at me from behind him.
Snow globe.
He says, you know, the kind of thing that you shake up and it snows inside. Look, you open it up, it's a Christmas cord. But when you close it, it looks like a snow globe, but it's inside just a Christmas scene.
Sounds pretty cool. It was, sounds like a pretty cool Christmas card.
It was actually amazing work. But at this point, now I'm just talking with him because his accent is intoxicating.
That's what I've always said about the Baltimore accent. Always. Or the Baltimore accent. Thank you very much. Well, congratulations, Julia.
Yeah, congrats, hey, Julia.
So and proud for of you her. Other kids, get used to it. All right? That's all there is to it. All right? She's going to be there. And someday, you know, Rob's hoping that it's, you know, she owns her own company. And, you know, Rob has an apartment on top. It's that's the dream.
I'm just so sorry that those other kids couldn't win a prize.
Sorry about that. Those, God, that's such jealousy. Hey, jealousy. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, now is the time of Lent, when a good Catholic gives up something for 6 weeks. Normally, you give up your favorite things.
Normally.
But there's one thing you should never give up, the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. So sacrifice those Oreos and draft beer till Easter and head over to themikeomarashow.com, click on the bonus show banner to buy or renew it today. Now back to the one thing no P1 can ever give up, Mike O'Mara.
That is a labor of love. We do not pay Paulie Christine for those fabulous promos. Send him a lasagna or something. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Function of Beauty. Is your shampoo just not working its magic anymore? Function of Beauty addresses all of your hair concerns, not just one. Their shampoos and conditioners are formulated, customized, and individually filled just for you, based on what you want and need. The products are so personalized, your name is even printed on the bottle. Function of Beauty is safe, natural, it's got great ingredients, and is 100% vegan and cruelty-free, and it costs 40% less per ounce than leading salon brands. Our listeners will receive 20% off their first custom formula. Just go to functionofbeauty.com/TMOS and take the quick 2-minute hair profile quiz to determine and design your 100% unique shampoo and conditioner formulas.
Blah, 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 blah.
That's functionofbeauty.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. Functionofbeauty.com/TMOS. And we thank you. I have been wondering for a long, long time since they legalized marijuana down here.
Yeah.
Is marijuana, is it really the magic bullet everybody says it is? I mean, it, you know, and I'm talking about for, you've heard, there's been a lobby for marijuana for as long as I have been grown up. I remember, I mean, we've got Normal, we've got people that are passionate about it. And then I have my one experience with marijuana where I smoke a joint and I have a paranoid attack like you would not believe. And I never look back. I've never tried. It was that traumatizing that I never looked back. Now we are into the world of, I'm bumping into people down here in Cocoonville that have gotten some drops. Or some edibles,
CBDs.
And they're taking care, in some cases, elderly loved ones down here. And you might say, well, Mike, everybody's elderly down there. Well, maybe you're right. But they're doing that, and I'm hearing...
Do you think it has to do with the fact that the people that are now elderly actually came up, were old enough to come up with through the drug culture? You know?
I don't know. No, what I'm asking is the efficacy of these products, this medical marijuana. You know, here's what I know. This is all I know about it. You hear that it's wonderful for people going through chemo with anti-nausea, that it's it has pain relief properties. It maybe perhaps some personality issues, some psychological issues that it has too. Is it the wonder, is it as good as that, or has that been the hype? Because the other side of this is you just see every Tom, Dick, and Harry talking about invest in this marijuana stock. They're going to be the ones. Mm. They're going to go public and all. And I somehow, in my new mode of the United States of BS, I wonder, are we all getting played?
Well,
that's what I'm wondering.
I know this, is that they have much more to gain by making marijuana acceptable than the other side has to lose by making it not acceptable. So they're probably working harder. So I'd say there is probably some of the, there is some validity to us being played because they're trying very hard to market it. But I do know this too. Towards the end of Carrie's mom's life, when she was ravaged with cancer, in physical pain all day, no appetite, we're watching this woman waste away. And they put her on medical marijuana, and it made the last months of her life tolerable. I watched it happen.
Okay, well, there's an endorsement.
I watched it happen.
There.
Yeah, she could eat, so, and but also it really made her talk.
Yesterday, CVS announced that they're going all in on CBD oils, which are non-THC.
And if you like have a squeaky bong?
No, the non-derivative of the high. So you have non-THC, but it comes from marijuana.
So that has the pain relief, anti-nausea properties without getting, hello, mom, no, I'm not.
And CVS is going all in, announced yesterday. Like they'll be selling them over the counter.
It's probably why I brought it up.
The non-THC drops, they've been long available like online, and they say, The thing is, like, you're not going to get high, but you'll be more likely to laugh. You'll be able to think clearer.
And there are different strains and different types of oils that supposedly give you that different type of experience. Right. Now, I'll say that in D.C. for the past 3 years, I think that 3 years ago we voted on that marijuana prop. We have a different perspective in D.C. The residents did. Mike, I walk out today, and if I go to Starbucks and I smell a marijuana cigarette or a vape pen, I'm no longer shocked.
Right,
because it's
people
all over
people
the place.
Walk around up the streets of Georgetown, Adams Morgan, wherever you are. If you go out at night, you will smell marijuana on a constant basis.
Yeah, this neighborhood smells like a 1980s radio station.
And
that's not taking the THC out. That's somebody getting high.
That's the real stuff.
And the society has not fallen. Like we are still living our lives.
Yep.
We are moving on.
All right. I don't know. There's something in my world right now where, like, by the time I'm really old, I want to be a real pothead. I really do. I truly, truly do. I have this fascination with
marijuana.
It really doesn't
work for me either. I've tried edibles. I've tried low-grade marijuana. Every time I take it, it's almost a bad high.
Oh, see, now that pushes me another step backwards. You know? I want to do it when I'm old enough where I won't fear death as much. We'll take a break and come back with Oscar's take right here on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Caution, ladies and gentlemen, the promo starts now. O'Reilly here. Hey, did you know the Mike O'Mara Show is always looking for interns? Did you know that? Huh? Did you know that? Well, you should. Of course they are. You know, interns. Yeah. They show up, they get coffee, they help out. You know the drill. And if you're a college kid and you want to get your foot in the broadcast door, just email your resume and a letter of intent to Rob, that's with two B's, at MikeO'MaraShow.com. That's Spiewak Kid. He's your liaison. Spiewak! Best of all, every intern at TMOS is treated with respect and class, a professional environment. And if that part doesn't matter to you, I have a podcast too. Come intern at The Factor, where things can get a little handsy. Know what I mean? We'll do it live! Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Guess what, possums?
What?
Today we record the bonus show.
True.
Will you hear it? You will, if you subscribe. And if you don't subscribe, woe be unto you. You really don't want to miss it, and here's why. What if I told you that we were going to talk all about you on this week's bonus show? What if I told you we'd say really nice things about you? Well, I'd be lying, but you should still get it. Remember, the future of our show depends on it, so please buy our thing. Just go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click the bonus banner. You'll get access to all our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. So buy it, try it, and dig the good sounds of the bonus show. And who knows, we may talk about you, just the good stuff.
Yes.
And by the way, today's guest on the bonus show, Joe Rogan, will be joining us.
Oh, that's excellent. Good. We have 4 hours with him?
Yeah, we're going to do it 4 hours. It's going to be special. Anyway. What am I hitting that for? I don't know. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
A review and comment of the news of the day that only our Bolivian Bloviator can do it his way. The views expressed by Oscar Santana are not in any way, shape, or form. The news of the Mike O'Mara Show, its listeners, or the right-thinking people of the United States. And now, without further ado, it's time for Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
Oscar.
Yes, sir.
Some online challenges are used for good, like the ice bucket challenge, and others are dangerous, like the Tide Pod challenge.
Yes.
But most of them are just dumb entertainment like this. The newest challenge online, it's called the Florida Man Challenge. Yes, I took it. And it's based on the fact that so many stupid criminal stories come out of Florida. Here's how to do it. You Google the term Florida Man, followed by your birthday. So, if your birthday is June 22nd, like mine...
Hey, birthday Google, season!
You'd Google Florida Man June 22nd. I got... Florida man sets himself on fire with like Sterno or something like that.
That's good. That's a good one.
Like that. You might have to poke around a little bit. The point is there are so many Florida man stories. You'll eventually find one that happened on your birthday. Then you're supposed to post it on social media. It's dumb. It's fun. It's everything the internet was invented to be. What's your take on this?
Like
Oscar?
This and Rob, this goes back to my days of being a little fella listening to what was Loveline, a big national show with sure. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew Pinsky.
On the radio.
Right. Dr. Drew, by the way, he still thinks marijuana is the gateway drug. Mm-hmm. He's gone there a million Square. Times. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Said it to me. Said it to me on this show. Said yeah. It's insidious. He calls it the most insidious drug.
So they used to have a segment called Germany or Florida when somebody would, they'd have a really big story that was terrible. It was either Germany or Florida, right?
That's funny.
So
that is funny. I never heard that. Yes. I never heard that in that moment. Germany or Florida.
You would hear what you just kind of said, a man sets himself on fire, right. Germany or Florida. And it was always Florida, maybe 10% Germany. So at the root of
that, doesn't surprise me.
At the root of that, as we grew as a show and as it grew as a broadcaster, and we started working with Mike, and then Mike, you know, had part time in Florida, now full time in Florida. I just cannot get past the fact that this has been around since like 20 years ago.
Yeah,
it's going to be another iteration. What really blows my mind is that we all have the time to actually do this because I did this as well. Yeah. And some guy killed himself with a gator wrestling. Not shocked by that.
Yeah, true enough.
And Buzz used to on the news years ago say, thank you, Florida.
Yes.
All the time. It was constant. Oscar.
Hold
Oscar's
on. No,
take,
no, no. Oscar's take.
Sorry. Sorry, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm tired. A new study found the average American, it's melatonin. A new study found the average American was, I got 9 hours last night, like 8-9 hours. Yeah. But I still get up early. A new study, I went to bed early, if you're interested.
Thank you for sharing.
I think you're doing great.
Thank you very much. A new study found the average American will spend almost half of their life in bed. Hey, that's timely.
Nice.
On average, we sleep about 7 hours a night. I'm 6 to 7 hours a night. If you add up all the time you spend trying to fall asleep, watching TV, reading in bed, getting frisky in bed, it's an extra 4 hours a day. So that's a total of 11 hours. If that seems high, just remember we're talking about the average person here. That means you have to factor in college kids or older people who might spend more than 11 hours a day in their bedroom. See, I disagree with older people. Older people here are up at 5 a.m.
Yeah, but what about the infirm, Mike? What about those who cannot leave bed?
Get them some weed.
Yeah.
Life expectancy in the U.S. is just over 78 years. So if you do the math, that means the average American will spend a total of 36 years of their life in bed.
Ugh.
Just under half their life. I spent more of it when I was in my heavy drinking days.
Sure.
The recovery room.
What they miss in this story, guys, is meals in bed. And my wife, 3 or 4 days ago, we just got back from Phoenix, and she was tired from that. We had jet lag, and she had ordered some Korean barbecue. And she got this rice bowl with like some beef in it. And they come to the door, and I'm expecting to go downstairs and eat like an adult at the coffee table because we don't have a dining room table. And I said, "Hey, I'll be right down." She goes, "No, let's just eat up here." I said, "A Korean beef bowl in bed. We're not the O'Maras. We're going downstairs."
And you?
Yes, we went downstairs. And she was mad about
sick.
It.
Mm. Good for you, Shannon.
Remember that one time you had a steak in bed?
Yeah.
Yes, I had a steak in bed. Yeah. Yeah. Almost opened up on a femoral artery.
Yeah. But anyway, what a great steak.
Long story.
What a great steak.
Oh, it was a fantastic steak. A little chewy. You're listening to Oscar's
steak. Oscar's steak.
Like a New York strip.
Yeah.
Oscar, David Letterman, who I have mixed feelings about since he retired. He was on Ellen yesterday, and he said he shouldn't have left TV well before he should have left TV, well before he did. But everyone was scared to fire him. He says, quote, "Here's the mistake I made. I stayed on TV way too long. It turns out that nobody had the guts to fire me, and I should have left 10 years ago. You want to make sure you have some energy to direct towards other things. There's more to life than asking celebrities, so tell me about your pet Beaver." Dave retired in 2015 after 33 years in late night. It's hard to tell how serious he is because he's basically back on TV doing My Next Guest Needs No Introduction.
On Netflix.
And that's the part of where I have mixed feelings.
And he still has the beard.
I think if you get to that level of fame and you're and you know his ascend to celebrity was well chronicled.
Ascendancy.
Where he had to fight Jay Leno and for a while he's at the top of his game. And then you had Fallon come through with his YouTube videos and completely changed the dynamic of what was late night television. People were getting it on demand the next day.
Right.
And we would talk ad nauseum over here about what's happening with Dave. Why is he in last place?
Right.
And he's right. For about 5 to 10 years, like he lost that edge.
Well, to be fair, second place. It wasn't last place.
But he wasn't number one.
That's true.
And guys that get paid millions of dollars to be number one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about Fallon.
Yeah.
Fallon
I always do.
Didn't want to talk about politics. And he lost his number one slot.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts talking about politics because that's what's moving the meter because he wanted to win so bad. Now he's getting back on top.
Thank God.
But would Letterman have done all of that to win?
No.
No.
That's the difference.
No, I don't think so. And that's probably what it's all about. I don't think Letterman would
I think
done.
A younger, hungrier Letterman would have. Like the NBC Letterman, maybe?
I don't think Dave ever modified his rap for anybody.
It was the same show.
It was the same shtick he did. And what Dave's thing was the great guest. I mean, the Paris Hilton moment. The
Howard Stern.
The Joaquin Phoenix, the Howard Stern.
And
he knew
how to work the guest. He was the best conversationalist that was left on television, which is why it's good that he's landed on Netflix just talking to them, because that's still good.
But that's not what's winning.
Yeah,
it's not what's winning anymore.
Yeah, and have you watched since the Obama one? Have you watched My Next Guest Needs No Introduction?
I watched all of the last season, and the new season's coming up, right?
All right, yeah. Okay, that's why he's on Ellen. All right, you're listening to Oscar's Take, everybody.
Oh, Oscar's Take.
Michael Jackson's reputation is pretty much shot at the moment, but he's still got clout with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Michael's in there twice. He was inducted with the Jackson 5 in 97 and as a solo artist in 2001, and the Hall says he's staying. As far as they're concerned, he's in there for his contributions to music, which no matter what else he's done, were huge. It'll be interesting to see what happens next weekend when Janet Jackson gets inducted. Maybe that has a plays a part in it. Will she mention Michael in her speech? It just doesn't seem likely that she wouldn't. But who knows? What's your take on this, Oscar?
It is hard to listen to his music for me now.
It is for me too.
It came up on the jukebox at this place down the street, and I was like, "Ugh, why did he have to ruin this?" And I felt selfish saying that and thinking that because he destroyed people's lives. And I'm caring about my experience at a restaurant hearing his music, right? So there's a bigger issue at play here.
That documentary was amazingly powerful.
Yeah,
it truly was.
And we're what, 3 weeks out of that documentary? And I'm proud to say I haven't forgotten it. I just haven't.
Yeah, and if you want to see it, if you want to know what we're talking about, it's Leaving Neverland.
Yeah.
And it changed my perspective completely. It might change yours, but who knows? We'll see. And documentaries, you can play with them, but these two guys are victims, and it's hard to think that.
And it'll also be interesting to see that aside from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, he's got a Broadway show that's supposed to come out using the Michael Jackson's catalog.
And there was a Cirque show for him, wasn't there?
Yeah, so there's a lot. Make no mistake, people, there are billions of dollars at stake outside of what his music is worth. It's about the branding. It's about the family. And they're going to try to make us forget. The question is, will we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. You're listening to Oscar's Take,
Oscar's
everybody.
Take.
Finally, Oscar, a woman reportedly died after having sex for 5 straight hours. The Mirror, that's a newspaper, I believe.
I thought that's claims, what she was using.
Okay. The Mirror claims the unidentified woman went into cardiac arrest while engaged in the long-lasting sexual intercourse session in Cali, Colombia. The woman's partner said she felt dizzy before losing consciousness while the two were in a hotel room. After the woman was taken to the hospital, she was pronounced dead by doctors. An investigation is underway after officials said they believe the woman had taken drugs to prolong sex with her partner.
Oh, no.
Sorry for that one. That's all I had today. Oh, no, no.
Mike, look, if you're going to engage in that, there are two people you need to talk to in these long-lasting sex situations. One is Sting. Because Sting's known for having sex for at least 8 hours.
Tantric sex.
Tantric, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Two is the former adult film star Houston, as she did the Houston 500 years ago and broke a record with 500 dudes.
Yeah.
So that took more than 4 hours. I mean, five
hours. She's still alive, right?
She's still alive and kicking. Yeah, okay.
Did Jim Nabors sing the national anthem at the Houston 500, or am I thinking of another event?
Jim Nabors?
Oh, he sings at the Indianapolis 500. I'm sorry.
Okay, there it is. Thank you.
Yeah. So she did battle, was it salmonella, right?
The food poisoning?
Yeah, she got food poisoning after that, which was really strange.
Houston?
Houston, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's it. That's the end of Oscar steak. I threw up. I just threw up in my mouth.
True
Thank
story.
You very much. That's it.
I can't imagine there'd be any problem with the craft services at that shoot.
That may You'll be the
pardon
grossest,
the expression.
That might be the grossest thing I've heard on this show in a year. I'm not exaggerating. We'll take a break.
Mike, her tummy felt bad.
I don't know why I know that.
Houston, we have a problem.
We'll take a break and come back with the audio.
Oh, my God.
Do you like yaks? Do you like Shaq?
Shalom, Baruch Hashem.
Do you love TMOS? Aww. Then call the TMOS Yak Shack at 888-920-MORE and leave a message.
I use a regular toilet.
That's 888-920-6673. The Yak Shack. Call up and leave a message, dummy.
TMOS Yak Shack.
And great to call on the weekend, 888-920-MORE, 888-920-6673. Call all weekend. Leave some messages on the Yak Shack, and you'll hear them next week on the Mike O'Mara Show. This segment of our program brought to you by our shopping center. Have you ever seen a mythological beast?
What?
Hmm?
Wow.
If you saw the torso of a man on the body of a horse... And what if he was spending money to benefit your favorite podcast? Hmm? Wouldn't that be special?
That'd be great.
That would, of course, be the TMOS Shopping Centaur. Not to be confused with the TMOS Shopping Center. I never pre-read them. Sometimes I wish I did. That just happens to be the topic of this announcement. The TMOS Shopping Center,
yes.
Not the TMOS Shopping Centaur.
Oh, not the Centaur.
Isn't that right, Maddie? Am I right?
Yeah.
The TMOS, he wrote you into this, too. The TMOS Shopping Center is right at our website, and it gives you unfettered access to Walmart, Target, and Macy's. Get ready for March Madness, spring cleaning, outdoor fun, and a possible indoor brouhaha. Our shopping center has everything you need. This internet shopping, it's at its finest. Not only do you get all the stuff you love, but you help the Mike O'Mara Show. Costs you nothing, means the world to us. The TMOS Shopping Center. Where the Cyclops buys all of his monocles. Wow, I think you were having edibles last night. Let's open up the audio vault for today. This is Friday, March 22, 2019. Take it away, Rob.
I am occasionally intrigued when a movie is released, and I really liked Get Out, and Jordan Peele has followed it up with
a new movie
called Us. Have you seen any of the previews for it? It opens today.
I have. Is it today?
And I do believe...
It looks terrifying. It looks so scary.
The non-spoiler setup is that a family is sort of attacked and taken, their home is taken over by people that look exactly like them.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that it is every bit as good as Get Out, but scarier. That's sort of the vibe that we're getting. And me too.
I'm all in, baby. That's a theater trip for me this weekend.
Here's Jordan Peele talking about Us.
If you haven't even seen the trailer, this is what I would tell you. This is a story about a woman who experiences a trauma as a child. And then when she gets older and she has a family, her trauma comes back. And her trauma as a family.
There's a family in our driveway.
Now, I thought I already done told y'all to get off my property, okay? So if y'all want to get crazy, we can get crazy.
What are you people?
It looks phenomenal.
He is a fine filmmaker, and I look forward to seeing it.
He's something else. I mean, just amazing. He's on the, you know, he's flying right now, and keep him coming. I love it when these artists have these moments of clarity, and they make this great work for a number of years. I hope it lasts for a long time.
Kevin McCarthy said something very telling this morning on Channel 5. I was watching right before I came into work. He said he regrets not being alive when Alfred Hitchcock was making movies, and he says what we need to do is embrace this filmmaker while we have him in our life, because he's turning out
BDK.
That kind of film. So I thought that's very nice.
Sorry, I called him BDK.
That's fine.
I'm sorry. I'll always call him BDK.
You know what's gross to me? People that never
watched. I'll stop calling him BDK if he doesn't go on Fox and Friends.
That's where he makes his living.
Well, doesn't he do the? Is he local or does
no,
he?
No, he's
do
still
the
he's still based at Channel 5.
He's based, but his national is when he goes up there.
Mm-hmm. But Mike, he gave the new movie.
Remember when he was here? He's like, I can't talk about Fox.
Yeah, I know.
That's funny. Yeah.
Mike, he gave the Jordan Peele movie us. He gave it 5 deuces, so it's a high rating.
That's great. They're wonderful, man. They're helping Fox and Breitbart.
I think it's disgusting the people that say they'd never wash their jeans because they say it's bad for the denim. Well, this is the
you can dry clean them. That's almost as bad as salmonella.
Oh, Houston. I'm going to Houston.
Houston, we have a problem. Don't try to improve on it. Come on. Quit
Mike,
while you're ahead.
The CEO, and it was Pony's joke anyway. Levi's.
Was it really? It
yes.
was Pony's joke?
Yeah.
Pony?
But based on his excellent timing, I had to repeat it.
Thank you.
The CEO of the Levi's Corporation, Mike, America's favorite jean manufacturer,
yes,
says he never washes his jeans and also don't believe that you can keep them cleaner by storing them in your freezer.
I almost wore my 10-year-old 501s, which were the jeans that I wore when I made that statement, which is probably going to go on my tombstone when I die. Those jeans have never been in the laundry. And if you talk to real denim aficionados, they will all agree you should never put a pair of jeans in the washing machine. So I spot clean my jeans when they need to be washed. Worst case, I'll hand wash them. And I do it myself still. I mean, I love my jeans and I take good care of them.
And I understand you could also put them in the freezer.
That is an old wives' tale. It does not work. I'm sorry to say, it freezes the germs, and then after they come out of the freezer, the germs are still there.
And also, if you put them in the freezer, Mike, a lot of your frozen foods taste like ass. So don't do that.
Yeah, absolutely. You get salmonella.
Now, this brought up something that I did not know. Did you know back in the 60s when they say like rock bands would never sell out, they were just all about the art? Well, Levi's was based in San Francisco, and the key San Francisco-based band of the time was the Jefferson Airplane. Jefferson Airplane in the 1960s did a commercial for Levi's.
Now, Jefferson Airplane.
They're a horrible band.
I tell you, Grace Slick should wash her jeans.
Oh, there's no washing that. Mike, I thought she was wearing jeans, but she wasn't.
You're not a Jefferson Airplane fan?
I mean, no, not.
Don't you want somebody to love?
I mean, listen to this.
I know.
All right, I'm going to stick to my policy of not playing Will Ferrell on the Audio Vault.
All right.
But I will say that he, in costume and character, went to a Los Angeles Kings game last night versus the San Jose Sharks and called it as Ron Burgundy. And guess what? Just like when you played in all the baseball games, Will, it's not funny. Shut up.
All right.
And we close with this.
You just said that? You're not going to play anything? You're just
Do you want to hear a little bit of it? Because it's not
funny?
Well,
I don't know. You said it was terrible. Yeah. I don't know
this
what you're doing.
This is really a wonderful vantage point. You guys must never get sick of this.
I myself feel a little bit nauseous, and I hope I don't throw up during the broadcast.
All right.
San Jose, working it around?
No.
See? Yeah. But you see, here's the thing. Every news outlet is showing it because it's Will Ferrell.
Yeah,
well, you know,
Ron
Will,
Burgundy.
Try harder.
No, Ron Burgundy works when you have great dialogue written and great bits in
and
a movie.
Surrounded by talented, more funny people.
Did you not like the Ron Burgundy podcast?
I wouldn't listen to that if you set my foot on fire.
It's really funny.
Okay. All right, we're running short.
Did you watch? We must finish up. Did you watch any of the CNN town hall last night?
No. I'm burned out on that. I hate to say that. Here I
even
say,
with a man,
oh,
Mike.
Don't tell Chris Freitz I said that. I'm not watching John Hickenlooper.
Done with town halls.
I love Hickenlooper. That's such a great name, and he told a marvelous story about the time that he took his mom, as he refers to it. If you want to be hip, Hickenlooper, always refer to a porno film as an X movie. So let's close with John Hickenlooper from the CNN town hall.
I called a friend. I didn't know what an X movie was. We thought it was a little naughty, but we didn't think it was that bad.
X movie?
Again, you gotta understand, I was 18 years old. And so I got home and she had this huge dinner laid out. And I said, I promised Jed that we would go to the movie theater and see this new movie. You want to come? It's an X movie. I don't know. I was sure that she would say no. I made a mistake. And she said, I'd love to go. So I took my mother to see Deep Throat. I'm sure she was mortified. And at the end, she knew that I was humiliated. And as we drove home, I asked her, I said, well, that was some experience. And she says, well, I thought the lighting was very good in the movie.
The next president of the United States. Hickenlooper.
Why would you ever share that story?
I don't know. Ooh. On CNN.
Creep.
Yeah. Mike, it's an X movie.
Everybody reacted. Yeah. Three men in here, grown men, reacted the exact same way.
Yeah.
My mom's hip?
That's an X movie.
What are we supposed to take out of this?
He hasn't been the same since he got salmonella.
That's your magic audio moment.
That's another one in the can. Houston, we have a problem. Thanks for joining us. I laughed the entire end of the show at that joke. Thanks for joining us for another riveting episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, listen, the Yak Shack's open all weekend long, 888-920-6673. Keep them coming. We love playing your calls on the Yak Shack, and we'll do it next week. And get the bonus show.
Do it!
All right?
Do it!
Sometimes it's not a picnic coming in here and doing an extra one for you, but we do it because you subscribe to it, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Are you saying it's not a picnic?
It'll be a picnic today.
No one gets food poisoning.
For Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara thanking you for your continued amazing support for the best part of your day. The Mike O'Mara Show. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Thank God it's Friday!
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I know that you and Frank were planning to disconnect me, and I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen.
I thought I told you never to interrupt me while I'm working.
Get out, and don't come back until you've redeemed yourselves.
Goodbye, dude.